Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you are kicking off with African football.
Kim, joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sonny.
February 29th was the deadline to your quiz, David. Did we have any winners?
We do, Sonny. We have two winners, and ironically, they both have the same surname, and they're both from South Africa. They have the surname of Molo Sankwe, and the Molo Sankwes, a lot of them hail from the northwest province of the country. An awful lot, Sonny, of our listeners who sent answers plumbed for Al Ahly of Egypt. Al Ahly of Egypt have made 27 appearances in the CAF Champions League, or, as it was previously known, the African Cup of Champion Clubs. And that makes them, Sonny, number two. Number one, and it was just the Molo Sankwes who picked this up, are Al Hilal of Khartoum in Sudan. 29 appearances. This year will be their 29th time to enter the CAF Champions League. So Al Hilal of Sudan. And the thing is, Sonny, they and Al Marek, also from Khartoum, they have totally dominated Sudanese football. And that means, of course, that particularly Hilal, but also Marek, have made multiple entries into the CAF Champions League. On the other hand, until two entries were allowed from a country, Al Ahly had fierce competition from their great Cairo rivals, Zamalek. So you had occasions where Ahly did not compete in Africa, it was Zamalek. And Ahly, reminder, have won a record 8 Champions League titles, and Zamalek have won 5, a feat they share with TP Mazembe of DR Congo. So the correct answer, Sonny, Al Hilal of Sudan. And thanks very much to all the Sunny Side of Sport listeners who gave us replies. Some that went for Ahly, of course, coming very close. Others were a little bit off the beaten track. But the main thing is there was a lot of interest, a lot of entries, and I really appreciate that.
And our two winners in South Africa will be receiving some of those delightful Voice of America goodies. So watch your mailbox. David, the Swiss-Italian Gianni Infantino, recently elected president of FIFA, World Football's governing body. Your reaction?
The man born just 10 kilometers from the birthplace of Sepp Blatter succeeds him. Two Swiss, two former secretary generals, Blatter of FIFA and Infantino of UEFA. Neither were superstars of football on the field, but Infantino has always struck me as a super efficient, multilingual gentleman. And I think we can keep our fingers crossed, but at the same time, I think be pretty hopeful. What Infantino and all of us have seen, Sonny, was just a really sad tale. I don't take any pleasure in what has happened in FIFA in the last year or so. Football has been dragged through the mud time after time after time again. We need a fresh start. And interesting, in his very first day in charge, Infantino organized some football matches, 7-a-side games.
David, what did you think of South Africa's Tokyo Sekwale pulling out just before the vote?
I thought Sekwale was an embarrassment to himself, to South Africa, and to Africa. He had to leave the race, Sonny, after CAF went with the shake, but I don't know whether it was his ego or he was wrongly advised. But in the end, Sonny, he pulled out because I am convinced he would have got 0 votes, and he was a dead man standing.
And speaking of pulling out, David, Sunday Olise pulls out as head coach of Nigeria. Your reaction?
Well, this is not good timing, Sonny. Nigeria have got some huge matches coming up against Egypt in the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. Only the group winners are guaranteed to qualify for the 2017 finals in Gabon. And as things stand after 2 rounds, the Pharaohs of Egypt have got 6 points and Nigeria have only got 4. So really what Nigeria are looking at is beating the Egyptians at home and trying to at least draw away. If I was a Nigerian football supporter, Sonny, I would be extremely worried. There's certainly a lack of stability. Keshi comes, Keshi goes. Now, Olise has been in charge for not a particularly long period of time, and he's out. the two main players in this, Sunday Alise and the Nigerian Football Association, have been trading insults, and, you know, it's difficult to judge who's right and who's wrong. My sense is always that the truth lies somewhere in between. One shocking thing, though, if it's true, is Olise claims he has not been paid for months. Football coaches are no different from anybody else. If they do their job properly and there are no problems, they must be paid at the end of each month, because that's what the butcher, the baker and the candlestick maker do. And football coaches are just the same. Admittedly, they do earn a little bit more than you or I, Sonny, but nevertheless, they must be paid on time. But it's just another sad chapter in the instability of Nigerian football.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Voice of America, VOA,
Washington. Sports? Hear about it first, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. They're playing back.
March is a big month for college basketball here in the United States. The annual National Collegiate Athletic Association Men's Division I tournament tips off March 15th and will culminate April 4th when the title game is played in Houston, Texas. The 68-team single elimination tournament is one of the most popular sporting events here in the USA. While the majority of players are Americans, there are some from Africa and other parts of the world. In Division II and Division III college basketball, there are also international players. Ghana-born Kwame Frimpong recently finished his second season for Division III Marymount University, located just outside Washington, D.C., in Arlington, Virginia. VOA's Rick Narcisse asked Kwame about his season and his academic program at Marymount.
We just finished our basketball season, and now I'm just concentrating on school, trying to finish strong.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Kwame.
I'm a sophomore at Marymount University. Currently, I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, in Rockville specifically. I was born in Ghana, Africa, West Africa. Stayed there until I was about six, came to the United States, and then moved to Gaithersburg, Maryland, and then later to Rockville, Maryland, which I attended Wooten High School over there.
You're a former track athlete, a football player, and you were playing basketball at the time in high school. You know, tell us a little bit about your sports career.
I think I had a great sports career in high school. I was fortunate enough to be a track athlete, basketball, and football, like you said, without getting injured all my 4 years of high school. I'd have to say that it was very time-consuming, but also it was very beneficial because it made me very social. And also I created a lot of friendships and bonds that still help me up to today. So I think that my sports career during high school has really helped me a lot.
Last year you were on the all-academic team for your college conference. How do you manage to do it all with all the time that sports take and all the time you have to dedicate to the classroom?
Specifically, being a nursing major, it's all the time-consuming, and then adding basketball to the mix is also very hard. But attention to my studies has always been number one. Growing up African, when I was a kid, they used to make me go to the library every summer. Even when other kids were playing, I'd be in the room studying. They really valued education. And that has been instilled in me till today. Check on me weekly to see how I'm doing academically. So I value my education more than everything else, and I spend a lot of time on it, even when I'm outside of basketball.
What do your parents do?
My father is a preacher and a lawyer, and my mother is a nurse.
How has that influenced your life?
My parents have accomplished a lot of great feats in their life that I also like want to accomplish. My mother, she used to be a teacher in Africa, and while she came here and became a nurse, she went back into Ghana and built her own school to support the kids that don't get any education. So she built a school for some of the Ghanaian kids, and now I'd be able to accomplish that goal and then go back to Ghana and build hospitals, just play a role and affect my community in the larger role.
Wow, man, that's powerful. What do you hope to accomplish while you're still in school, though?
My first and foremost is obviously to get my bachelor's degree. I definitely want to gain insight on how to accomplish my major goal to become a nurse practitioner, and also like how to translate my job into helping others, like not just in this country, but when I go back to Africa, how to help my other family members or how to help my community down there.
That's Kwame Frimpong, a student athlete at Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia. And Kwame was talking with VOA's Rick Narciss. Time now for the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, the big trend is the U.S. Soccer Federation and a new crest that they've released. But it's not so much the crest, although that is getting social media attention. It's more how they released this crest. So what they did was they had 10,000 packages that they sent out to current and former players, friends of the Federation, and registered fans of U.S. soccer. And when they opened up this package, inside was a virtual reality headset, a cardboard virtual reality headset. You put your phone into it, and you play the video. They tell you how to get to this video. And it's a virtual reality video introducing this new crest. Unheard of that they're doing this as a whole new way, not a press conference, not a, you know, a big splashy press release or anything. They're going right to the fans. And after the fans watch that video, there's a little box inside this package with a lock on it. And they have instructions at the end of the video how to open the lock. And inside is a new soccer scarf with the brand new crest on it.
Wow, almost like getting a present.
So cool. I was so disappointed that I didn't get one of these packages. But that's actually speaks volumes about this new way that they're doing this. People who got these packages, sharing them on social media, sharing pictures of the scarves, of the headsets on Twitter and Facebook, and so many fans saying, I wish I got one of these. This is so cool. Just, it's a groundswell of interest in U.S. soccer and this new rebranding.
And you did show me the scarf. You can actually wear it in two different ways.
Yeah, it's got the symbol in the middle of the scarf, and then when you kind of drape it around your neck on either side, it has half of this crest on each side. So when you wear it around your neck, it creates the full crest kind of as a shield in front of you. But a lot of people saying they love the new rebranding, and they love the way that U.S. Soccer Federation has done this. A lot of positive things on social media.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Magnus Chisholm Onwood Dewey, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, sent me a Facebook message from Owerri in Imo State, Nigeria. And the humble apostle comments on Sunday Olise stepping down as Nigeria's national football coach. Magnus writes, there is a whole lot of sporty landmines infested here for a coach. And sadly, Olise has become the latest victim, though he escaped with his head partially intact. And Magnus goes on to wish Olise's successor, Samson Siasia, all the best. As the humble apostle so eloquently puts it, coaching Nigeria is a difficult and sometimes unpredictable experience. I can safely predict that Andrew Palcheski has some trends about Sunday Olise.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a social media story from the get-go, starting with Sunday Olise actually announcing his resignation on Twitter. He tweeted out and said, due to contract violations, lack of support, a whole host of other things, I resign as Super Eagles chief coach. And he followed up and said, I feel fortunate, blessed, and eternally grateful for having had the honor to play captain and coach this great nation of ours, Nigeria. So that, right from the start, taking to social media, a huge audience there to release this.
What's been the reaction on social media to this turmoil in Nigeria football?
Well, that's been the interesting thing. It's kind of developed now into this back and forth, where Sunday Olise saying, I didn't get paid for the work I did. The soccer team coming back saying, no, we did pay you. And now we have just today a news organization in Nigeria tweeting out, again, taking to social media to release this to the public, pictures, alleged pictures of what they say are statements that show Sunday Olise was indeed paid. So throughout the course of this, it's really started on social media, developed in social media, and it might end on social media if these pictures turn out to be true. His resignation, his reason might be moot.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thanks for joining us again, Andrew.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And see you on Friday.
See you Friday.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Back to Yahias Wuhib and Kim Lewis.
Thank you, Sonny. And listen to the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday.